Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news. Wake School Superintendent Kati Moore is stepping down. Reaction to today's surprise announcement.
Plus, new demands for school safety after two students were shot, one died. What the sheriff says could help prevent violent acts.
It's nice and mild out now. We take a live look at Apex. Look at the cloud cover starting to fill in. I'll show you when the rain starts and how long it will last through the weekend. Breaking news this noon. The superintendent of North Carolina's largest school system is retiring. Good afternoon. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. The announcement from Wake County School Superintendent Kati Moore comes after several school threats and growing frustration from parents about the district's response. WRO's Adam Owens is live for us this noon. Adam, is there any indication of what prompted today's announcement?
Well, she's been in the education business many of those years right here in Wake County for more than three decades. So she is retiring after a full career. That's what we're being told by those who are close to her. She's been known to a lot of people over many of those years as Kati Moore. She now goes by Kati Moore, kind of a nod to her upbringing and a name that she used for so many years before becoming such a well-known name in the area. The announcement, as you understand, is a big deal because this is such a big job. It's the biggest school system in our state. It is the 15th largest in the nation. Superintendent Kati Moore is retiring after a full career spent in education, starting as a teacher at Enloe High in Raleigh back in 1988, and then in 2018 brought on as superintendent of this district. In a message to staff, Moore talks about the honor it has been serving the school system, and there have been a number of challenges, as you just mentioned, Jeff. She brought the district through the pandemic, trying to deal with the learning loss that came from that. Another big issue we've been reporting a lot at WREL, safety in our schools, including the numbers of threats made against Wake County schools. Having covered this school district for some years myself, many in the system, I can tell you, think highly of Moore. You're looking at photos posted to Twitter by Clint Robinson. He's the chief of staff and strategic planning at Wake County Schools. Moore announced her retirement to district leaders in a meeting today. And as you can see from those photos, Robinson says she received a standing ovation. In her message to staff, Moore also says that she's announcing her retirement with a heavy heart, but has confidence in the school community moving forward. And that, of course, brings us to the next logical question, and that is finding a new superintendent. Just moments ago, I talked with the school board chair, Lindsay Mahaffey, about that search.
That we do have a plan moving forward. I've already engaged with the North Carolina School Boards Association. They will be presenting at our next board meeting. They were our search firm last time. And so they're going to share what a superintendent search looks like. Right now, we have two board members that were previously a part of a superintendent search. So sharing and letting folks know what to be expected and what's to be expected.
And the board chair also tells me, like last time, that will include a lot of input from the public. There will be places and times where the public can talk about what they would like to see in a new superintendent here at Wake County Schools. Superintendent Moore will be with us through the end of this school year. Back to you.
So that means July for this surprise announcement. Adam Owens, thanks for that reporting live in Wake County.
It has been nearly 24 hours since a shooting on American Tobacco Trail that killed a high school student and injured another. This happened right by Hillside High School in Durham. Police have not made any arrests yet. WRL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger spoke with the Durham County Sheriff, and she joins us live from Hillside High. Sarah.
Renee, there is a notable increase in law enforcement presence here at the school today. You can see one of the cruisers parked right here out front, hoping to ease some parents' and students' minds after a traumatic day. The two students were shot just around the corner from here during the school day, right off of the American Tobacco Trail. Today, I spoke with the Durham County Sheriff, Clarence Burkhead, about school safety. He plays a big role in that, overseeing the school resource officers in the district. Sheriff Burkhead told me he would like to see metal detectors in every Durham school.
There's a collage of things that we can do to make our schools safe, and I think we have to try everything. And yesterday is a classic example. Even though it was off campus, I'm not so sure that weapon wasn't on campus throughout the day. And that's concerning.
Sheriff Burkhead has partnered with the theater department to put on a play here at Hillside High School about gun violence. This was a partnership that was announced prior to the shooting yesterday, but it's even more relevant now. That play kicks off next week called State of Urgency. He hopes it will open up conversations about gun violence, particularly its impact on young people. Now, because the two people shot yesterday are under the age of 18, Durham police will not be releasing their names. I have, though, asked for the ages of those two victims. I am waiting to hear back on that. Renee.
That play and its message cannot be any more urgent and relevant. Sarah Kruger live in Durham. Thank you. A Nash County grandmother accused of murdering her 8-year-old granddaughter went before a judge for the first time this morning. 72-year-old Patricia Ricks is charged with beating the girl to death at their home in Nashville on Tuesday. Today, Ricks entered the courtroom in a wheelchair for her first court appearance. She looked dazed and unresponsive as the judge told her she could face the death penalty if convicted. When the judge asked Ricks if she had an attorney or wanted a court-appointed lawyer, she did not answer. The judge appointed Ricks a public defender out of Raleigh. She's being held in jail without bond. Her next court date is set for February 23rd. We expect to get our first look at body camera video of a deadly arrest in Raleigh as early as tomorrow. A judge decided to allow the release of the video of Daryl Williams. Last month, Williams died after officers used a taser on him 3 times. Wake County's DA and Raleigh police asked for the body camera video to be shared, and his family will get to watch the video first.
The skies are getting cloudy as a cold front gets closer. A few showers are possible this afternoon. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRO Severe Weather Center with a look at the timeline for that rain now and through the weekend, Elizabeth.
People are out there trying to get in this last little bit of the warmth before the rain rolls in and the cooler temperatures. Plenty of folks out here on the golf course at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. What a nice place that looks like to be, doesn't it? But you can see all the cloud cover. A check of radar shows no rain popping up just yet, but we could see an isolated shower as we get through the afternoon and tonight. Here's a look at the big picture, and you can see our cold front edging closer to us. Some rain out ahead of it in the mountains right now, and some of that even into the Piedmont. But as it has worked eastward, most of that has fizzled out. We take a closer look here and track the system as we go through time, and we're going to see, of course, the system bringing us some showers for tomorrow. We'll push it ahead to Saturday. Saturday's looking a little bit drier at this point, and we're looking at Sunday being the wettest day. So a few isolated showers for this afternoon and tomorrow, and then Saturday. And then Sunday looks like the very wettest day. And we'll likely end this with snow in the mountains, but right now it looks like our chances for snow in our viewing area or any wintry mix is almost zero. Some of the models do want to bring some of that maybe as far east as Winston-Salem. So keep that in mind. If you were planning to travel westward on Sunday night, you could run into some of that, but we're not likely to see it right here in our viewing area. Here's a look at our potential for rain. It's just a small chance for this afternoon at 20%, 60%. Friday, way down to 30 on Saturday, and up to 90% on Sunday. We'll talk about the temperatures to go along with it coming up.
New drone video shows the damage caused by severe storms in parts of Louisiana overnight. A gas station was hit with major damage as a possible tornado moved through that area. At least 2 mobile homes were flipped over, injuring 3 people, including 2 children and a woman. Fortunately, none of those injuries are considered life-threatening. Several trees were also knocked down by the storm.
At this hour, the death toll reaches more than 20,000 in Turkey and Syria as we look live at the rescue efforts happening there. We've also learned that a number of Americans are among the dead. NBC's Kelly Kobiea shares the roller coaster of anguish and brief moments of joy in Turkey.
Overnight, using bulldozers and buckets, working in freezing conditions, rescuers in Syria pulling more survivors from the rubble. While in Turkey, this little girl lifted through the ceiling of a collapsed building by Israeli rescuers. The crowd cheering as she's freed after being trapped for more than 60 hours. This dog, its back legs trapped, freed by rescuers. Every life worth saving. But tragically for many, waiting for loved ones ends like this, in grief and tears. This father holding his dead daughter's hand, too distraught to leave her as recovery teams try to remove her trapped body. This morning, the State Department confirming three Americans are among the thousands killed in Turkey, not identifying them, saying, "We offer our sincerest condolences." American rescue teams are now on the ground with search dogs and heavy equipment, helping to dig through the rubble in Turkey. President Biden pledging support to both Turkey and Syria.
It's about saving human life.
Across the disaster zone, countless buildings and homes are too dangerous to stay in, forcing hundreds of thousands, terrified of aftershocks, to sleep in shelters or out in the open with frigid temperatures plummeting into the 20s overnight.
We are not safe because some apartments are cracking.
This beautiful mosque, almost completely destroyed, only a few outer walls remaining.
I'm so sorry.
This woman, devastated. She's staying in the hospital with her six-year-old granddaughter, rescued just hours after the quake. But two other grandchildren died, she said, and her home is destroyed. I have nothing, she told me. The Turkish president touring the disaster zone Wednesday, vowing to rebuild. As many here are saying their goodbyes and trying to survive.
That was Kelly Cobier reporting. The composer and writer behind hits like Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head and Close to You has died. Burt Bacharach provided a mellow alternative soundtrack to rock and roll in the 1960s and 70s. He wrote hit songs for a wide range of artists, including Dusty Springfield, Dionne Warwick, Tom Jones, and Neil Diamond. One of his biggest and most impactful hits, That's What Friends Are For, raised millions of dollars for AIDS research. Burt Bacharach was 94.
Next at noon, an important warning about a popular baby stroller sold by Baby Trend. The problem with the canopy you need to know about to keep your child safe.
Also, claims of discrimination are being investigated by the WNBA. What a player says her team did when she told them she was pregnant.
And the Biden administration is putting an end to the COVID public health emergency. At 12:30, the plan for what's next.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Welcome back. Here is a live look at downtown Raleigh from the Museum of Natural Sciences. More clouds and sun today, but still very warm. We're already in the 70s. You're watching WRAL News, available on Spectrum and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
We have an important warning about a baby stroller sold by Baby Trend. The problem involves sit and stand double or ultra strollers with model numbers beginning SS76 or SS66. If a child climbs on the outside of the stroller, their head or neck can get stuck in the stroller's pivoting front canopy. It can also happen if a child in the front seat of the double stroller is not restrained using all five points of the harness. Customers can find instructions to remove the detachable canopy in the product manual. The WNBA is investigating the Las Vegas Aces over claims of discrimination. The league confirmed their formal probe, saying they're looking into basketball player Derek Hamby's allegation made in a social media post last month. Hamby was traded to the Los Angeles Sparks. She accused the Aces of discriminating against her for getting pregnant. She also said they bullied and manipulated her, as well as attacked her character and work ethic. The Aces say they are aware of the investigation and will assist the league with any information requested.
Football's biggest night is almost here, with thousands of fans flocking to Arizona to soak in some Super Bowl 57 fun. Lauren Blanchard is in Glendale outside State Farm Stadium with a look at the festivities.
With just days until the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles face off in Super Bowl 57, State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona is busy preparing for football's biggest night.
So excited. We are super stoked.
Security measures are in full swing and hotels are near capacity, with thousands of people in from around the country.
Super Bowl experience is something that we love to put on. Not everyone could have a Super Bowl ticket, but it's a fun opportunity to just come out and experience the NFL.
This is the sixth time since 1970 that both teams had the best records at the end of the regular football season.
It's one of those Super Bowls that you really don't want to miss.
It's also expected to be a huge financial boon for the area. Visit Phoenix estimates the big game will bring in $600 million to the local economy.
It's kind of a bigger buzz down here than normal.
As local bars and restaurants also prepare for the massive influx of fans, some say the best and cheapest seat is right in their own living room.
I'm going to be lame and watch it at home so I can avoid all the traffic and drink from the comfort of my own couch.
Meanwhile, when it comes to digging into your favorite football snacks, the cost for a pound of chicken wings is down roughly 20% from this time last year.
That was Lauren Blanchard reporting. Attending this year's Super Bowl in Glendale, Arizona comes at a steep price. Right now, round-trip flights to Phoenix average $500. Fans from Philadelphia looking to arrive on Saturday and return Tuesday may have to pay more than $6,000. And hotel prices are soaring with an average of $600 a night. The average cost of a ticket for the Super Bowl is $6,434, while tickets on Ticketmaster's best seat section going for 40 grand. Really? I know it's a Super Bowl, but wow.
You get a pretty nice car for that, right? Goodness.
My couch looks better and better, yeah. Tell you what.
Couch for zero. It'll be great. We've had, I don't know if you call it Phoenix weather, but we've had a really nice stretch here the last couple of days. Elizabeth Gardner, the WRO Severe Weather Center, with the end to it all.
Yeah. I mean, even for $6,000, I better be sitting on the bench like with the players. It's just mind-boggling. This is a look at what's happening outside right now. This is a look at our high-resolution satellite, and you can see the white colors back to the west. This is where it's cloudy, and of course the gray here is where it's not cloudy. This is where we're actually seeing the ground, and you can see where the clouds are headed. A lot of cloud cover to the west, and all of this is starting to stream in. And taking a look at cameras, it varies. Definitely our western cameras and our western towns definitely looking cloudier, and our eastern cameras looking a little bit sunnier. As a matter of fact, here's a look at Wilson, the Whirligig Park, and you can definitely pick out a little blue sky there, but the clouds are coming, and once they roll in, we're not going to see much sunshine until maybe Monday. Look at the Whirligigs. They are spinning around. It looked like we were going to have a breezy afternoon with the approach of the cold front that comes through late tonight, early tomorrow. We're definitely seeing that. Look at that, 73 degrees. Our wind is coming out of the south-southwest, so that's where all this warmth is coming from. We're going to see those temperatures, you know, maybe even bumping up to 76 degrees this afternoon, which will put us above the record high. Those wind gusts, look at this, in the white box on the right, 25 miles an hour in Raleigh and Durham, 28 in Roxborough, 22 South Hill. That's our wind gust, and our steady wind at about 10 to 15. That's the blue box on the left. So definitely a blustery afternoon, but it's blustery and warm. 72 in Fayetteville, 71 Goldsboro, 70 in South Hill, 68 in Roxborough. Those are current temperatures, and this is what we're expecting for a high. We're almost to the high temperatures in a lot of places. So again, we could see those temperatures climbing, you know, easily into the mid to maybe even upper 70s in some places. Look how that changes by Sunday. We're going to see the warmth moving out, and we get a bullseye of chilly air that sits right over us on Sunday with rain falling. Very unpleasant. Temperatures normally 54, 74, or 75, 76 this afternoon. Friday is cooler, definitely starting off cloudy, an isolated shower or two during the day. Saturday looking cooler too, behind the front, 52, and Sunday 49. Sunday looks like a really wet day for us too. So 74, we're already at 73. I think we're not going to have any problem tying this record, maybe even breaking it. And then 77 in Fayetteville will break that previous high of 75. Our weekend outlook for Friday, isolated showers to start with, a better chance of rain late afternoon and evening. It backs off a little Saturday, but then really heavy looking on Sunday. We take a look at Futurecast and you can see plenty of cloud cover. A few isolated showers for us this afternoon. Cold front moves on through overnight tonight. A few isolated showers during the day on Friday, but then it really starts to pick up during the afternoon. We're going to walk through between Friday into Saturday and Sunday again with Futurecast coming up in just a few minutes. You can see we're nice and quiet into next week. Elizabeth, thank you. Despite what the groundhog says, a new scientific study suggests that spring may come a few days early. Coming up today at 4, WRAL climate reporter Liz McLaughlin explains what is causing the early arrival and how it affects your allergies and your garden.
Then at 6, WRAL investigates our power grid's reliability following major outages in December. What happened and what can keep your lights on in the future?
happening now in the WREL Live Center. Southwest is once again apologizing this afternoon at a Senate Commerce Committee hearing. You'll remember that December meltdown that stranded thousands of passengers over the holidays. Well, Southwest executive is telling the Senate, we messed up. They know they messed up. They say they have confidence in technology improvements and the airline's own schedule after that holiday meltdown. But now many lawmakers are calling for things like frequent flyer miles or even cash options for those who were affected.
Get ready for Shamrock Shake season and a major recall of a popular cleaner. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Colgate-Palmolive is recalling nearly 5 million bottles of Fabuloso multipurpose cleaner. The product may contain bacteria usually found in soil and water, and that could lead to the potential for infection in some people. The Fabuloso was sold in various sizes and scents. Between this past December and January, it was sold at retailers from Walmart to Home Depot, Dollar General, and Amazon, among others. More details can be found at the Consumer Product Safety Commission website, cpsc.gov. Shamrock Shake season is almost here. McDonald's is bringing back the popular mint-flavored shake on February 20th this year. The shake debuted in 1970 to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but it only became available nationwide in 2012. McDonald's also said it will bring back the Oreo Shamrock McFlurry that made its debut just 3 years ago. Okay, look for pizza deals today to mark National Pizza Day. Jets is offering 20% off all menu price pizzas to online customers. You'll just need to use the code PIZZA23, and Domino's has a mix and match deal with any two menu items for $7 each. You can also get either a one-topping pizza, a dips and twists combo, or eight-piece wing order for $8 if you're ordering carryout. And Chuck E. Cheese is offering a free large pizza with any one topping when you buy one at regular price at select locations. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
More business news. Disney says it is trimming its global workforce in an effort to save billions of dollars. The company says it'll lay off 7,000 employees. The job cuts are part of a cost-cutting effort. Disney says it is aiming to save $5.5 billion by cutting operating costs and non-sports content. It's unclear which divisions would face cuts.
Meta is changing its focus for its VR app, Horizon Worlds, to attract more teen users. The app will soon be available to teens as young as 13 years old, rather than its current 18 and older requirement. The top priority this year is to improve user retention among teens and young adults. Meta says it wants to increase Horizon's monthly retention rate from 11% in January to 20%. Well, this is embarrassing. Google's new chatbot Bard is showing inaccuracies leading to its public launch. The company's demo of the chatbot on Twitter shows a user asking what new discoveries from the James Webb Space Telescope can they tell their 9-year-old about. And one of Bard's responses was identified as inaccurate. Bard said the telescope took the first pictures of a planet outside our solar system. In fact, a device from Europe was the first. Google says such issues are expected to be addressed by its trusted testers. The Biden administration is ending the COVID-19 public health emergency. What does that really mean? When we can expect to get a roadmap for the post-pandemic era?
And here's a look at your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky received a warm welcome from European leaders in Brussels today, where he sought more weapons to fend off Russia and a quicker path toward EU membership. NBC's Raf Sanchez reports from Ukraine.
President Zelensky today continuing a diplomatic push in Europe after making a surprise visit to London yesterday, only the second time he's left Ukraine since the start of the war. Zelensky continued on to Paris and then to Brussels to meet with leaders of the European Union. And his message was consistent in all three cities. Give Ukraine fighter aircraft, as he likes to call them, wings for freedom. Ukraine is bracing for a renewed Russian offensive, and Zelensky says they need increased military aid from the NATO allies, and they need it now. Now, President Zelensky left the UK with a firm commitment from the British that they would train Ukrainian Air Force pilots. What he did not get was a firm commitment that they would actually supply fighter jets. Meanwhile, here in the east of the country, intense fighting continues in the city of Bakhmut, which has taken on such symbolic importance for both sides. Russian forces throwing wave after wave of both regular troops and Wagner mercenaries at Ukrainian forces who are holding on there, but at this point, almost by their fingernails. Raf Sanchez, NBC News, Kharkiv, Ukraine.
The House is expected to vote today on a resolution condemning China's use of the surveillance balloon over the United States. Lawmakers in both chambers are receiving classified briefings from Biden administration officials on the issue. Today, a senior State Department official said high-resolution photos reveal the high-altitude balloon was capable of collecting U.S. intelligence. China is accusing the U.S. of information warfare. North Korea showcased its missile production muscle during a nighttime parade, displaying more intercontinental ballistic missiles than ever before and hinting at a new solid-fuel weapon. They're believed to be able to strike nearly anywhere in the world with a nuclear warhead. Kim Jong-un attended the grand military showcase with his daughter, who is seen as playing a possible future leadership role in the hereditary dictatorship.
We're waiting to learn the name of a man hit and killed while riding a motorcycle near Garner. It happened just before 3 this morning. Investigators say the rider was passing a car when he hit a concrete median along NC-42 near the Cleveland Draft House. He was thrown from the bike and died at the scene. The crash happened around 9:30 last night. The road reopened after 11. A mother accused of hiding the death of her 3-month-old baby boy will be in court tomorrow. Police say the baby was left in a suitcase for more than 12 hours. This started yesterday morning when officers did a welfare check at this home on Franklin Street in Roanoke Rapids. 34-year-old Sinkel Davis was charged with felonious concealment of death of a child. WRL's Aaron Thomas asked the chief why a murder charge was not filed.
We are going on what evidence we have at hand. Any evidence that would be recovered through the autopsy on the child would help us make any further decisions on whether potentially the other charges could be filed, such as homicide.
Investigators are waiting for a medical examiner's report to determine how the baby died. Davis is in the Halifax County Jail under a $15,000 bond.
The 5 former police officers in Memphis charged with Tyree Nichols' death could lose their ability to work in law enforcement in the state of Tennessee. That's what the police chief is recommending. Parker King reports.
The 5 former Memphis police officers who've been charged with the death of Tyree Nichols face decertification. The process goes through the POST Committee, or the Tennessee Peace Officers Standards and Training Commission. A representative told us, quote, a notice to appear before the POST subcommittee is in the process of being served on the former officers. The decertification hearing will take place at the next available post commission meeting following 30 days after service of the notice.
But I need some action done.
The former officer's decertification documents were obtained hours before Nichols' parents were recognized during the State of the Union address.
The police need to have some type of accountability. My son was just coming home. He wasn't bothering anybody. He didn't even break any laws. But they just decided they want to go rogue on my son.
Memphis City Council is calling for accountability for both Memphis Police and Memphis Fire. Councilors were disappointed with what both Chief C.J. Davis and Chief Gina Sweat presented at Tuesday's City Council committee meeting.
We wanted to hear reform, what's going to be done different. An overview of the things that they're doing is not necessarily what we were looking for.
The Post Commission says officers facing decertification also have the option to surrender their certification before they must go before the post board.
As Parker King reporting, these 5 former officers are due in court for their first appearance February 17th. 7 additional Memphis police officers are being investigated for their involvement in the January 7th traffic stop.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, this just into the newsroom. We are hearing that Hillside High has gone into secure status once again. This means that everything is going on as planned inside the school, but they are not letting anybody in or out of the school. A school district spokesperson tells us this is all due to police activity in the area. They say this is not related to any students
or the school. This is breaking. We just got this into the newsroom. I'm going to stay on top of this and bring you any updates from the Live Center.
COVID is no longer a national public health emergency. What that means from the federal government level to you.
Plus, a potential way to help slow climate change is floating out in space. How moon dust could help. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app. The Biden administration is preparing to put COVID-19 on the back burner. President Joe Biden is expected to soon unveil a roadmap to help the nation prepare for when the public health emergency declaration for the virus is ended in May. John Lawrence gives us a preview.
After roughly 3 years, it appears the U.S. has the upper hand on COVID-19.
Today, our nation is in a much different position than we were at the start of the pandemic. We have built a wall of immunity and expanded the tools available to decrease the risk of severe disease and death from COVID-19.
Last week, President Joe Biden issued a statement saying he plans to end COVID-19 national and public health emergencies by May 11th.
While the virus is not gone, thanks to the resilience of the American people and the ingenuity of medicine, we've broken the COVID grip on us.
But during Tuesday night's State of the Union address, Biden also said the White House's previously stated goals set to protect the population remain in place.
We still need to monitor dozens of variants and support new vaccines and treatments. So Congress needs to fund these efforts and keep America safe.
A source close to the administration says the White House will release a roadmap to make sure the public knows what ending the COVID-19 declaration entails.
We've managed the effects of COVID through increasingly available vaccines and treatments. And we're figuring out how to apply lessons from this pandemic to enhance health security going forward.
That was John Lawrence reporting. Once the COVID-19 declarations end, many Americans will have to start paying for COVID-19 testing and treatment.
Chemicals found in products, including fragrances, shampoo and soap, may increase the risk of diabetes in women. Fatalities says that the chemicals that strengthen the durability of plastics are used in many personal hygiene products. Now, researchers examined more than 1,300 American women over 6 years, and they found that those exposed to the chemicals have a 30 to 63% higher chance of developing type 2 diabetes, especially among white women.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, another update for you. Hillside High again has gone into secure status. We have a live picture right now of Hillside High. The school district spokesperson says this is due to police activity in the area. They say this is not related to any students or the school. Secure status means that everything is going on inside the school as planned, but nobody is allowed in or out of the school. Again, this all due to police activity in the area. We do have a crew there on scene gathering as much information as we can get. We will provide that to you as we get it.
These dogs are professional dogs that operate at the highest levels.
The intense training taking place now to make sure football fans are safe at the Super Bowl.
Plus, could moon dust help solve climate change here on Earth? Why scientists believe it could help after the break. And welcome back this noon. Here is a live look in Glendale, Arizona, State Farm Stadium right there. When it was first built, they called it the spaceship. Out there in the desert. Now the population has grown up around that area. Some of the top canines in the world are headed to the Super Bowl. Dogs from San Antonio will sniff out potential threats at the big game on Sunday. RJ Marquez got a behind-the-scenes look at their extensive training.
It's the ultimate game of hide-and-seek. These canines are training to detect explosive devices at airports, other transit points, and the festivities surrounding Super Bowl week in Arizona.
Yeah, that's a boy.
We're going to have our best out there on game day protecting the traveling public.
Yes, sir.
We got an up-close look at the drills these dogs go through at the Canine Training Center at Lackland. The first exercise is detecting explosives at the terminal and people passing through the screening process.
Explosives on passengers or in a static setting at an airport could be mass trans. It could be multiple different areas.
The dogs are trained to give a passive response once they detect a suspicious substance.
If they detect someone, something on a passenger, they'll kind of hone in on them and follow that specific person.
And this is the second part of our day at the CTC. These canines are now being trained to detect explosives on a wide aircraft simulator. This is before and after passengers get on board.
Good, good, good.
We find this canine moving up and down the aisle before he spots something out of the ordinary.
Good job, Bobby.
The dogs also weave their way in and out of passenger luggage, like a running back on the field.
Stay.
They don't get distracted by food. They're trained. You know, these dogs are professional dogs that operate at the highest levels.
The goal is to keep people safe this week during the big game, but the training starts right here at the CTC.
Everything from sleep to the nourishment and the food that they get, and of course the expert training is key to produce that product that's actually going to be out at the Super Bowl.
It's a boy. Good job.
And Super Bowl 57 is this Sunday. You can watch it on Fox 50. Don't miss Kansas City Chiefs take on the Philadelphia Eagles from Glendale, Arizona. The game begins at 6:30, but pregame festivities, they start at 11 a.m. Put it on Fox 50 and just keep it there all day.
Can't wait. 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Liftoff of Progress 83, the next vehicle in the supply chain to the International Space Station.
An uncrewed resupply ship launched this morning from Kazakhstan. It's delivering almost 3 tons of food, fuel, and supplies to astronauts on the space station. It's expected to reach the floating laboratory on Saturday. A new study suggests moon dust could help us slow climate change here on Earth. Researchers at the University of Utah looked at how a cloud of dust floating between the Earth and the sun could be used as a shield to block some of the sun's solar radiation. It's that radiation that is steadily increasing our planet's temperature. Scientists say properties in dust from the lunar surface could provide a perfect sun shield for Earth, but continuous shade depends on its ability to stay in orbit.
We'll have to
moon dust.
Yeah, we have our own natural moon dust blocking the sun these days right now with the clouds rolling in and Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. The temperature is still up there. That's a good thing.
Definitely. We could easily end up tying or breaking the record high today. We tied it yesterday at 75, and we're already looking at 73 degrees, and the previous record for today is 74. So it's a little bit lower hanging fruit, at least by 1 degree. What you're seeing outside right now is a mix of sun and clouds. It's a little bit sunnier here in Goldsboro, which is farther east. The clouds are working their way in from the south and west. And Goldsboro is breezy. You can see that camera moving around. I've been watching, too, the traffic lights here in Chapel Hill, and those have been moving around as well. Last time we checked in, we were gusting up to about 20, 25 miles per hour across the viewing area. And well, that's what we're seeing. Seeing a lot of cloud cover, especially there in Chapel Hill. This is courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. That's one of the cloudier spots that we're seeing right now. But still no rain out of these clouds. As we get closer to the evening commute, there could be an isolated shower that pops up. We're not likely to see any storms today. We did have some storms yesterday across parts of the Deep South, down here across Louisiana and Mississippi. As this moves on in to Georgia, it's looking a lot weaker when it moves across our area starting late tonight and into the day tomorrow. Also, an isolated rumble of thunder, but we're not looking at a threat for severe storms. Right now, we're looking at cloud cover and again, an isolated shower that could pop up, especially in our southern counties. This is 6 a.m. tomorrow. And again, from Raleigh southward, an isolated shower could pop up. It's not going to be much rain. I don't think we'll see much rain at all, really, from the Triangle area northward. So our most heavily traveled roads tomorrow morning should stay fairly dry. Here's lunchtime Friday. Now, once we get into the middle of the afternoon, right after lunch, then the rain moves in. And this is where we could see an isolated thunderstorm, especially from, say, Goldsboro down to Clinton. You can see some of those brighter colors. So the evening commute on Friday will be wet. But from that point on, the rain that happens
overnight will mostly be from the Triangle area eastward. On Saturday, we're going to start off on the drier side. There'll be a few isolated showers that pop up, but we'll have a better chance of seeing any rain in our southern counties until we get closer to Saturday evening. Take a look here. We'll check out Saturday in the morning, and it's dry. And then there's a lot of rain down south with a low that's developing that will lift up across the area late Saturday. We're going to see rain Saturday night into Sunday. There's Sunday at 7 a.m. and there's Sunday at 5 p.m. So gradually we start to see that lifting out of the area, but we don't really start to dry out until Monday. There could be some significant snow in the mountains and some snow as far east as maybe Winston-Salem, but right now it doesn't look like we would see any of that here. How much rainfall would we see? Well, with round one on Friday night, it's probably going to be closer to half an inch to an inch, and then we'll add a lot to that on Sunday, as we're going to see pretty much a washout. On Sunday, if you're headed to a Super Bowl party, it's going to be wet on your way there. But after that, we should start to dry things out. And right now, Tuesday looks nice for Valentine's Day, 62 and dry.
Elizabeth, thanks. Pest control workers make an alarming discovery at a home in California. What technicians say was behind this nutty find.
Here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers on your screen right now.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The superintendent of North Carolina's largest school system says she is retiring. Wake County School Superintendent Kati Moore announced she's retiring at the end of the school year, effective July 1st. Moore was first a teacher in the school system beginning in 1988 at Enloe High School. She became superintendent in 2018.
Right now, Hillsdale High School is on secure status. Once again, this is a live look outside the high school. You see the police presence right there. And they say, police, that there is activity in the area. So that's why they are on that secure status. Nobody allowed in or out. Yesterday, two teenagers were shot on the American Tobacco Trail, which is near that school. One of those teens died. Police have not made any arrests in the case. We will stay on top of this story as it develops and have any new updates on WRL.com and on our evening news.
We expect to get our first look at body camera video of a deadly arrest in Raleigh as early as tomorrow. A judge decided to allow the release of the video of Darryl Williams. Last month, Williams died after officers used a taser on him three times. Wake County's district attorney, as well as Raleigh police, asked for that body camera video to be shared. Williams' family will get to watch the video first.
Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin receives the highest honor from the NFL Players Association. While in Phoenix, the Alan Page Community Award annually recognizes one player who goes above and beyond to perform community service in his team, city, or hometown. Hamlin was chosen from a field of five finalists. Since suffering cardiac arrest during a January 2nd game, Hamlin has inspired people all over the world and received more than $8 million in donations to his Chasing M's Foundation's GoFundMe page.
I plan to never take this position for granted and always have an urgent approach in making a difference in the community where I come from and also communities across the world.
Hamlin noted, it's a blessing to be a blessing while accepting this award.
There's been a lot of talk about the matchup between Kansas City and Philadelphia at the Super Bowl, but there's another bowl game people are watching.
Who will sniff Puppy Bowl glory?
But that's illegal.
And win the coveted Lombardi Trophy.
The Lombardi Trophy Puppy Bowl 19 on Animal Planet features Team Fluff versus Team Rough. The matchup takes place Sunday at 2.
Homeowners say a pair of woodpeckers used their home to stash 700 pounds of acorns. The nuts were discovered by a pest control technician after the homeowner spotted mealworms coming from a bedroom wall. When the technician made a small hole in the wall, the acorns just spilled out. It took a whole day to remove them, and there were enough to fill eight big black garbage bags. The nuts had to be thrown away because they were covered with bits of fiberglass from the wall's insulation.
Our pet of the day from SPCA of Wake County is a sweetheart who loves being close to people. This is Mr. Magoo. The one-year-old neuter male dog weighs 57 pounds. And if you're interested in Mr. Magoo, go to spcawake.org/dogs. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Local news doesn't stop here. Keep listening on the radio in Raleigh at 99.3 and in Durham at 96.5.